good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this additional call on the WHOIS Review Team Internationalized Data Expert Working Group. On the call today, we have Jim, Dennis, Damar, Jody, Nishit on the line. Did I miss anyone? Okay, so that's five of us. I also saw Naoki. Not Naoki. So that's five of us here, and let's begin the call. Jim, before I hand it over to you, would it be okay if I kind of go over what changes I made to the document since last meeting so that the working group will be updated on this?
I think that would be great. Let me also ask that just confirm that the schedule that we're working under here, what our drop dead time is for finishing, just so we've got a clear picture here of what's in front of us, because I am a little concerned that we only have an hour today. So let's, because maybe we'll need some discussion about that before we end.
Okay. In order for this document to be discussed in Singapore, we need to get them published by Tuesday next week. So I think that's the time frame we're working with. The working group can also choose not to publish. Then we will just see what we can do for Singapore. So that's kind of the options on here.
Okay, and just to clarify here, so what you mean by publish means that the ICANN publication engine, you know, won't be able to make it available and start a public comment period or an announcement or anything after Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Okay. And by discussion during the ICANN meeting, you just mean that without it having been published, it's kind of difficult to have conversations about it.
Right, because people will not have read it to be able to provide you with feedback. Ideally, we publish for public comments what we have and then allow people to provide feedback so that there will be more discussion in Singapore. But really, it's a working group choice and determination.
Right. The particular detail I was focused on is the fact that we're not actually having a meeting in Singapore, any kind of public meeting or anything. So there's no discussion as in, you know, there'll be a time slot where we can sit in front of people and talk about what we've done or anything like that.
There is a session on, you know, gathering all the related efforts on internationalized registration data. So there's the study that's going to give an update. The GNSO PDP is going to give an update. If the working group chooses, we could, you know, ideally hope the working group will give a quick update at that session as well. So that will be a public session.
Okay. Of course, I would guess that the greatest value in that session would be obtained if we get our document out the door. If we don't, it's probably not as important that we have something to say at that particular meeting.
Yes.
That's just my opinion, but the group here can think about what they want to do there.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for that. Sorry to take a little too much time about all of that, but please go ahead and tell us what you did with the document.
Sure. So from yesterday's meeting, from Wednesday's meeting, there are a few things I get out. The first thing is the working group discussed extensively on the registrar support of internationalized data. And it seems that we have to test it here. People seem to agree that registrar should allow localized data be provided by the registrar. But then, you know, there are cases where registrars, I mean, it's a business decision on the registrar part to deviate from such a proposal. So with that, on page 2, what I wrote in this, you know, category is, you know, registrar should allow localized data be provided by the registrant. And then in page, let me scroll down here. in page 10, on page 10, I added a lengthy discussion capturing the points raised during our discussion on Wednesday. So that's kind of a major change here. I would like to get some feedback on whether I characterized the discussion correctly and what people think and things people want to change. So that's here. Another related point that Samar raised, which I think is valid, is the goal of our working group is to propose options and even make recommendations. But the very fact that our working group is not a PDP working group, so these are just suggestions, and it needs to go through a formal process for that. So I would add some text, both in here and in front to make that point clear. So those are the most important thing I raised here. I want to open up for comment to the working group on this particular issue.
Comments from anyone? I do want to ask a question, and I guess this is directed to the group. I know from Steve that folks had kind of an extended discussion about this on Wednesday. So, Sarmad, I think you'll have the most context here because you were part of the IRD working group from a couple of years ago, the joint GNSO-ESAC working group that talked about this issue too. So what we're saying here with this requirement, because the IRD group, as I recall, had a perspective that users, registrants, should not be required to do anything other than make use of their own local language or script, language and script, whatever that might be. To me, that translates into a requirement that registrars have to allow a registrant to be able to use their local language and script. So I'm trying to understand in my own mind the new shape that we're giving to this here in all of this page 10 text. I'm not sure I've got a good question here. I'm just having trouble getting this and making sure I understand what's going on here. We're clearly trying to separate business decisions from technical decisions. And so a registrant is not being required to do anything other than use their own local language or script. And a registrar is being told that, well, if you want to reach registrants who are in this particular place, then you really should support their language or script. Otherwise, you're limiting the set of people who may communicate with you.
So, Jim, this is Samad. I'd like to just make a quick comment.
Yes, please, Samad. Go ahead.
Can you hear me all right?
I am hearing you. I have to admit, you do sound muffled. You always seem to sound a little bit muffled, your line. But I'm okay. Going to try and listen attentively here and see if I can get it. Please go ahead.
Okay. So I think there was a discussion last time in which we had... the discussion basically starts from the fact that a GTLD is really giving options open to the a GTLD is open to everybody. So basically, you can potentially have a registrant which can speak any language and use any script. It is in a way. If a GTLD is a registry, GTLD registry is making serving a global audience, it should support all languages and all scripts. So that's where the discussion started from. And there was a comment that that may actually be too much to expect from a registry, a registrar, and it may actually be a business decision for the registrar on how much support the registrar is willing to provide for different languages. And my, at this time, my personal opinion is that if the registrar is providing domain names for a particular TLD, it should support at least the script in which the TLD is. It could still do English or Latin, but it should do at least that script. But it should not be left totally, entirely up to the registrar to not provide any support for any language. So I think those were two or three different options which we were discussing. I think last time we basically left off the discussion where I was just supposed to just document and share those three options, but I'm not sure whether we were able to conclude which particular option we want to finally recommend. That's all from my side at this time.
So thank you, Saramad. I do have a more clear question to ask, but let me first ask if there's anyone else who wants to comment here on what Steve has done or anything that Saramad just said.
This is Jody. I have a comment.
So please, Jody, go ahead.
I think the second option that Saramad had mentioned was requiring the registrar to support the script that the TLD, that the GTLD is in. That seems like that should be like a registry requirement. I'm not sure if that should be a requirement by ICANN. I don't know if I'm splitting hairs there, but I just wanted to add that comment.
Okay, thank you, Jody. That's actually helpful to the question that I was going to ask. But first, anyone else want to comment or ask a question? Okay, so let me offer the following comment. I think I'm beginning to get a clearer picture here of what's on my mind in this discussion. In the category of splitting hairs, to borrow a phrase, there clearly are some interesting lines that one can choose to draw here, and then it's a question of what you want to say about what's on each side of the line. The scope of this working group, as I understand it, and we get to collectively decide here where we want to go with it, is we're supposed to talk about the registration data itself, and so the requirements on the data. And what's interesting to me now as I think about this is, you know, that's one line. So you can have a line here which is, this is just the data. So the data obviously has some storage requirements, and then it has to move through the system. And so you can go to the other side of the line and say, okay, how does it get into the system? Well, it's coming from a registry. It's going to pass through a registrar. It's going to pass through or come from a registrant. And you can draw a line at each one of those places and talk about what are the requirements of the data in each one of those places. So as I think about what we did in the IRD group, a couple of years ago, you know, we were headed down the path of a registrant should only be required to use whatever their, you know, local language or script is. And at the other end of the spectrum, registries are only set up to use certain languages or scripts because they make those requests of ICANN and those things get approved. And when they want to change or add a language or script, they have a process they have to go to in order to be allowed to do that. And then in the middle, you have registrars that are dealing with customers on one side and those requirements, and dealing with the registry on the other side at those requirements. And now we have this translation and transliteration working group off there on the side, which is going to impose rules on how we make those two endpoints meet. I think I've just created a picture of where all the where there are different requirements, and we've got to find some way to talk about how data moves through the system with an interesting plus sign, if you will. Translation and transliteration at the top, the storage of the registration data at the bottom, registries on one side and registrants on the other side. And the question is, how do we set requirements that don't restrict the other three parts of the system? If we're the database at the bottom, how do we set requirements that don't change anything at the top in the other three points? And we have to provide some discussion that highlights the challenges of the other three points. Now, have I totally confused everybody, or have I actually said something useful?
Say, Jim, this is Jody. I was just wondering if you could repeat that one more time.
I'm imagining a picture that is a plus sign, or a cross, if you will. And we are requirements for registration data, and we're at the bottom. So we have to talk about the characteristics that the data has to have. And I'm observing that there are three other points on this, even if you want to imagine it as a diamond as opposed to a plus sign, and we're the bottom point on the diamond, and now there are three other points above us. At the point on the left is the registry, which is bound by certain requirements that it has asked for. So a registry has to arrange and contract with ICANN to support certain languages and scripts. And on the right-hand side, you have registrants.
Say, Jim,
yeah.
When you say that the registry has to contract with ICANN to support scripts, you're just speaking about the actual domain name, correct? Not about the data?
Yes.
Okay.
But yes. I'm sorry. I'm just sort of thinking through something here. But the registry in a thick registry is responsible for directory services. So the Whois protocol, if you will. So if the data is in or allowed to be in different languages and scripts, then the registry actually is supporting for domain names. What effect does that have on directory services, if any? Let me leave that question out there for a moment and finish the description of my picture. So you have a registry which has certain languages and scripts it supports. And thank you, Jody, on behalf of domain names, not actually the contact information. And on the right-hand side, we have registrants who want a domain name in a particular language or script, but that's different than the language or script that they're going to be using for their contact information. That's where I was getting the binding. If we assume that a registrant only has one language or script available to them because they only speak one language and use one particular script, then it's probably safe to assume that they're trying to buy a domain name in the particular script that's of interest to them, which has to be one the registry supports for domain names. Or perhaps it's not. Maybe they are just buying a domain name. They speak just enough. We'll use English since it's the obvious example. They speak just enough English to have an English word, and they want to buy a name in in .com or some other .ASCII name, and they just want that. And so it's not really a relevant issue. Anyway, to complete my picture, then at the top of the diamond, we have translation and transliteration as a function. And the question is, where does that function fit in all of this, or does it? Do we have any insight into what we want there, keeping in mind that there's a whole other working group, a PDP working group at that, that's going to be making decisions about who's supposed to support translation and transliteration and when and how? I'm trying to figure out what we're really saying here in this requirement. Because I'm concerned that I'm concerned about what the clear recommendation is, and I'm not sure that I get it. And I'm sorry, I'm being a bit obtuse here, but to me, the requirement should be that the registrant should be allowed to use, can only be required, as a practical matter, they can only be required to use whatever their local language or script is when entering contact information. So a registrar needs to be able to allow a registrant. It actually is a requirement. Or maybe it's not a requirement. I guess that's kind of the issue here. Is that what we're saying?
Say, Jim, this is Jody for the queue.
Yes, please, Jody, go ahead. I'm just rambling here because I'm having a little trouble with clarity of thought. I know there's something I don't like here, but I can't quite put my finger on what it is. But please, Jody, go ahead.
I think I'm just going to rehash what I probably said before, just for the group, is requiring the customer to be able to enter in, or the registrant, I should say, but the registrant is a customer. It is the same. Requiring them or requiring registrars to allow that person to enter domain names or to enter contact information in their local script, as I've said before, I think that that's a business decision for registrars to take on, whether they want to support that or not. But requiring it, and I think that this is where I get a little, I'm not sure what our group for our policy is suggesting, because if I'm a Brazilian registrar, and I want to support Brazilian residents, but I'm not too concerned about residents in Germany entering their local script, that's a business decision for me. I'm not concerned about supporting Germany registrants. I'm concerned about supporting Portuguese registrants. But putting something in there and say that you must require that, the customer to do, and maybe this isn't that big of an issue. I think it's a business decision, because it seems like you could shut down a registrar because they weren't allowing someone to enter in a German registrant in a German script or in a Chinese script. And maybe I'm taking this too far because the working group is not setting policy, it's just suggesting.
So I agree with you, Jody. I really do believe that it is a business decision on the part of a registrar whether or not to support a registrant. And I think that the requirements here, I think what concerns me about what some of the text that we have here is the only real requirement, I think, for this data field is that it should be free form. And it should be free form, and it must be known what language or script is being used to represent the name. Because I think the requirement on data in general that we're going to have is the language or script in use for the name needs to be documented, needs to be a known characteristic.
I think that I agree with that, Jim, that parts of these, some of these data elements, we need to know what the script is that the language that the registrant is entering.
So the rest of all of this discussion is important discussion, right? And it's both interesting and important, but I don't think it's part of the requirement here. I think that in general, we probably need a place where we talk about, I'll call it the balance, you know, of what it means to be internationalized. There's going to be, I'm going to go back to my little picture of a diamond here. You've got a registrant on one end and a registry on the other, and the data is going to move around. It's going to have, different people are going to be able to do different things with it. But, you know, what is the minimum set of requirements we need on the data so that each one of those stops along the way, the registrant, the registrar, the registry, and the directory service out there, so that they can, they have options with respect to what they can do with the data and make it useful to, you know, their particular community. Anyway, to focus on the issue at hand, which is this data element, I'm really back to the idea that the only requirement for this data element is that it be freeform, and perhaps we want to say something like it should be of a single script or language, the entire content, whatever that is.
Thank you, Jim. I'm trying to determine how to change this text. Are you suggesting we get rid of the, we simply keep the proposed requirement as this would be a free-form text and delete the second sentence, registrar should allow localized data be provided by registrar? Is that the proposal? I'm trying to understand what to change here.
I think so, because going along, I say that only because going along with the idea that it is a business decision, then I think that we don't really want to say anything that points in a particular direction or not. So it should be freeform text, and freeform text that includes, not even quite sure what the right phrase, we're going to have to come up with a phrase because I think we're going to use the same phrase elsewhere, but it should be freeform text of a known script or language with a known script and language designation. I'm also thinking a single known script or language designation, because I'm thinking at the moment, and this might be an interesting question, if we can get an interim report out and ask for some public comment, it might be interesting to ask, you know, would anyone reasonably have an organization name which might have half the name in one language or script and half the name in another language or script? I mean, is that even a sensible thing? I don't know if such a thing exists anywhere. With a single known language or script, language and script.
Dan, this is Dennis for the queue.
Yes, please, Dan.
Yeah, you just mentioned. So yeah, the single language, a little bit concerned about that. For example, I'm from Peru. I was born and raised in Peru, but my name, Dennis Tantanaka, it's, even though it's a written Latin script, it comes from the Chinese and Japanese words. And also, the native language in Peru is Spanish, but companies decide to choose English name for their company names. So then you have me, Dennis Santanaka, with a name that derived from Japanese and Chinese words with a company name in English and address information in Spanish. So no, you're not talking about single non-language right there.
Well,
and I'm sure that could happen around the world too.
Yeah, no, I think I understand what you're saying. Let me try to be more specific about what I mean by single language or script. What I'm suggesting is that when I enter an organization name, I'm going to choose to enter it. There might be multiple representations of that name possible. You're actually talking, when you're using yourself as an example, well, never mind. Yeah, no, this is 511 we're talking about here, which is not just the organization name, but the registrant name, too. You could have your name, and you could represent your name in multiple different forms. So you could choose, and all I'm suggesting here is that you have to choose one of them to enter your name. So your entire name has to be either in Roman characters and using that appropriate language or script, or you would do it all in Chinese. You wouldn't do your first name in one language and script and your last name in a different language and script. That's
right.
What I'm referring to here. Does that help any, or does that change what you're saying?
Jim, this is Steve for the queue.
Just want to give Dennis a chance if he wants to respond first, and then Steve.
No, yeah, so then we're not talking about language, but script.
Okay. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess I'm working under the premise that, you know, every element has to have a language and script associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the important question here is I don't think anything I said is in conflict with what you said. So it's a question of whether you agree that, you know, any organization or person could pick the one language or script they're going to use to enter their name in this data field. They might have multiple languages or scripts to choose from, but they're going to pick one of them and use that same one throughout.
Okay. Is there going to be a validation against that? I say I'm going to use Spanish as my input language. Would the registrar or registry be expected to confirm, validate, assert that the Spanish is being used?
Well, yes.
Or is it just FYI or label?
No, they would need to know that or set that. I mean, a registrar is going to take a bunch of stuff in, and somehow they have to, as part of collecting the characters themselves, they have to know what language or script is being used. That might be implicit. Maybe they just know, or maybe they, if they have lots of options, the registrant may have to tell them which one they're using, or maybe they have to, you know, intuit the value. They have to figure it out based on what's entered. I don't know. I mean, those become programming issues, right? Presentation issues.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is, you're right about validation. Validation is a whole other set of issues on top of all of this. But one of the things that I'm thinking about is I am thinking a little bit about validation. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, if somebody has a name and they could enter their name in Chinese or in English, do I want them to give half the name in Chinese and half in English? Or should
mm-hmm.
I require them to do the entire name in English or the entire name in Chinese? You can pick which either one suits you. But you have to pick one or the other. You can't mix them.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Yeah, your point. I think we can move on.
Okay. Steve.
Sometimes it's awfully hard to determine a given name. What the language of the name is, right?
I agree with you there. I am sort of wondering how all this is going to work, but
yeah,
that's why, you know, it's useful to, if we make the requirement here, we put it out there, we get some comments, it'd be really interesting to see what people say. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Please go ahead.
And also, in many cases, a name, for example, in the case of Japanese, would have multiple scripts associated with it, the same as in Chinese. An organization name would be a combination of the ideographic Han with Roman together. I mean, it's fairly common in China. So if we limit it to a single script, then it will be, it will be difficult. Because that essentially that's two scripts. Fairly common in Asia.
Okay, so you're just offering some specific counterexamples. So this idea of suggesting a single language and script, you're just saying that's flat out not possible.
Yes. Yeah, in some sense.
So we're back to the requirement that it needs to be freeform text, but the language and script used throughout needs to be known.
This is Jody for the queue. Jim.
Yes, please, Jody.
I'm not sure how well we need to know what the language is, because it will be difficult to be able to determine that unless the registrant tells us what the language is. The script may be a little easier to do, but I think the language could be very difficult.
So, Jody, I actually agree with you, and I really do understand the technical issue that's going on here. I mean, on the one hand, I think from a technical point of view, we have to know the language or script, and that has to be stored as part of the data. I think that if you don't know what it is, then just all kinds of other things are bad. You know, I mean, somehow when the data is stored, a language or script has to be associated with it. A separate question is where that language or script comes from, and that really is the problem. If the registrant knows, they should have some way to indicate that to a registrar when they're entering information, but that means that registrars have to have some way to collect that information, or perhaps they infer it because this particular connection's from a market that's only in one spot. But then again, this is the Internet. Somebody could be coming in from anywhere over the Internet. So suddenly even that boundary is a little dubious. So I want to separate the two problems, I guess, is where I am with it. We need to separate what needs to be true about the data, and I think what needs to be true about the data is that we always know the language and script that goes with it. And separate from that is the problem of how one determines that information. And that's going to become a problem, and that's probably worth highlighting, that that's an issue that is going to really fall on registrars to kind of figure out. But I don't know how to fix that. I'm not sure what else we can say about that. Have any thoughts about that, Jody?
I have more questions than thoughts, I guess, Jim. One of my questions is it's a very basic question, is why is a script important to us? If it's a free-form text, we just want to ensure that they only enter one type of script in per field. Is that why?
No. On a technical level, you need to know the script and the language, because you can't do things like matching without it. You cannot properly implement matching without it.
Hmm.
That's one fundamental issue. But aside from that, please, Nishi, go ahead.
One more thing that is associated with identifying the language associated with a particular element is until and unless we know in what language or script a particular data element is, we cannot go for transliterating or translating to a common script or language decided by the PDP working group.
Yes, thank you, Nishit. Actually, that's extremely important too.
Could you repeat that, Jim? I don't think that I it came quite clear through.
So there are two very big reasons why you always have to know the language and script. I've always been focused on the matching side of it. Okay, you can't properly do matching if you don't know the language and script that's in use. You run into all kinds of issues with the characters. Trademark Clearinghouse hasn't even addressed any of those yet, and it's got this problem. The second thing that Nishi was talking about is you can't do translation and transliteration if you don't know what you're working with.
Got it. Thank you.
This is Takao. Can you put in the queue?
Yes, please. Takao, go ahead.
So I agree with that. Those two points here, and then it does make sense that those are data associated with language and scripts. But one thing I notice is the definition of the scripts may be an issue here. And then when you, for instance, in the case of a Chinese or maybe Japanese, if you say Han script or Hiragana script, Katakana script, for Japanese, and then we have an issue. But if you say Chinese script or Japanese script, then the problem that Denise just mentioned may not be an issue. So maybe that's a point that we may have to make. For instance, if you say Japanese script, I could see that that's a combination of Hiragana, Katakana, Chinese, and then English four scripts together at least, and then but if you say one script and then we don't define the script, that may bring an issue that Denise just mentioned.
Well, from the point of view of GTLDs, the script definition, if you will, is part of the ICANN process. I mean, if a TLD, well, again, we're talking about different things here. So going back to the comment that Jody had made to me earlier, so with respect to domain names, when a registry is going to support a particular domain name, a particular script, the set of characters that are allowed within that script and for use in a particular language are defined.
Yep.
A table ends up getting created and defined and documented, and it becomes part of the the contract that allows
yes.
you to do it. And so you have validity, and so now you can actually test for valid characters and validity. But here we're talking about contact information, and
yes.
so you bring up a really good question. We're going to talk about needing a language or script. But is that language or script going to be defined somewhere? And
yeah.
who's mm-hmm. going to have the authority to maintain that definition?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just very familiar with this. Denise and I had a length of discussion about this for the definition of scripts and language for .com registration. Just FYI.
Okay.
Jim, just a time check. We are about 10 minutes away to the top of the hour. Maybe some discussion of next steps.
Yeah, so here's my concern. So two things, to focus on the one issue at hand here. I'm sorry, someone wanted the cue? No? Okay. I think that this discussion in Section 511, I think the discussion that we have here is important text. And I think now we have identified a section of our document somewhere where we have to talk about the life of the registration data. And the issues that go with maintaining that life. So a registrant's going to have, one particular set of abilities. The data has to have certain characteristics. And the data is going to move around through the rest of the system. And, somehow we have to identify the fact that the data may have different forms at different times. And it occurs to me that that's a motivation for identifying the fact that all data has to have a script and language associated with it. One of the characteristics of anything that's internationalized is that has to be known. And we've identified the two reasons why that has to be known. And we can take this discussion that's here in 511 and we can fold all of that into that discussion. I think the only requirement in this particular thing here is that it's freeform text and it has to be labeled with appropriate language and script. The appropriate language and scripts, one or more that may be used in this particular data element. That's one thing I wanted to say. The second thing is I don't think we're going to get this together by Tuesday because we're now sort of getting into the meat of some of the issues here, and I don't believe we've got enough of a cohesive document. I don't think we're going to be able to put enough text together to want to release this just yet. That's my concern. I don't want to release anything that asks more questions than it tries to clarify, because otherwise I feel like it makes us look like we're, you know, not really progressing. So let me ask that question here. Do folks agree that we're not quite ready to be able to have an interim report in time for Singapore?
I agree with you, Jim. This is Jody.
Thank you, Jody. Anyone else?
I agree.
Jody, Dennis, anyone else?
I agree with you, too.
Okay.
Me too. This is the cow.
Okay, it's cow, and now we're getting a nice consensus going here.
Thanks, Jim. I also agree. My question is, how do we move from here to there? That's the challenge I have. I think to move from here to there, the working group really needs to come in and provide text. That, I think, is the way forward. Thanks.
Yes, I agree with you. We're going to have to start really thinking about some of this stuff and writing some of this down. And I guess since I'm the one who focused on raising more questions here than answers, I guess I have to start trying to collect my thoughts for this group to review and think about. Didn't really mean for it to work out that way. I'm very happy for anyone to, even writing down, you know, some short paragraphs about questions or issues that are on your mind from this discussion and sending them to the mailing list. I think we need to create a discussion section in this document, a larger discussion section, which really walks through some of these issues that we're starting to think about and document. And it would be very helpful if you have a question and, you know, maybe some of an answer, if not all of an answer, or, you know, several questions about a particular issue, if folks could just take a few minutes, especially right after this call, to just send them to the list so we've got some starting text to work with and we can start to pull even those little paragraphs into the document and arrange them and work on expanding them. We have to grow our outline here so that we know what we're trying to build out. So I'd appreciate if some of the folks who were speaking today, you know, could say a few sentences about some of the thoughts that you had when you were talking today, if you could send them out to the list, make a point or two, that would be very helpful. And I will try to focus some time with Steve and see if we can't add another chunk of text in here before our next meeting on Wednesday. I think that's my proposed action for now. Anyone have any other suggestions or comments? Steve, does that feel comfortable to you, at least for right now?
Yeah, that's very comfortable. I think it would be difficult for me to, just from the conversation itself, to capture what's on people's mind. So if the experts can actually prepare some text, then it will be much easier, you know, for me to organize them together. But I think the very first part, you should provide text to express your concern and what you think, than me trying to guess what you think, because sometimes that's, there'll be information loss in between. So I agree with you, Jim.
And let me just emphasize, the text doesn't have to be finished product. You know, your text can just be a question, something you think we need to address. So even if you're not quite sure what all the pieces need to be, you know, let's not lose track of points that need to be covered. You know, set of bullet points, any text is better than none and gives us plenty of opportunity to shape it and turn it into things. And others may contribute to it, too, once they see what you're writing. So, okay. Any other business from anyone? All right. Let me thank folks for joining us on this extra meeting time. And we'll pick up again on Wednesday. And hopefully we'll have some new text and a couple other sections in here so that we've got some new stuff to think about and get organized. So everyone gets 5 minutes of your day back. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a
good day. Could you close the recording?